Welcome to DACB's Lawcast. My name is Gwyneth Barton, Senior Associate in the Real Estate team. Today I'm joined by Matthew Brakel, a partner in our regulatory team who specialises in health and safety and risk management. This edition of our podcast focuses on risk management and health and safety in property estates. Matthew, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Gwyneth.
So we hear a lot of reference to risk management and health and safety. In your experience, what should people be thinking about?
Well, I think ultimately it's thinking about that day-to-day compliance and thinking about how you're achieving that, but also thinking about how you're capturing that information. So that evidence of decision-making, either through having good policies and procedures or thinking about the documentation that sits behind specific tasks like risk assessments or safe systems of work. But I think one of the things that I'm seeing a lot at the moment is clients really needing to think about how they respond to an incident, because we are seeing situations where that incident management piece isn't quite going according to plan. And what it's showing is that that day-to-day compliance, all those documents that have been created on a day-to-day basis, is great. But actually, it's becoming evidence and potentially a criminal investigation by a regulator such as the HSE, Fire Authority, CQC, or local authority. And I think clients are struggling to understand how to effectively manage incidents in some cases. And the learning that we're seeing is when they just sort of take a pause and take a step back, but it comes almost full circle, Gwyneth, and thinking again, well, hang on a moment, how are we geared up to deal and respond with an incident if we have one? We all plan for a good day at work. We all plan for a good day at the office. And we're very keen to make sure we've got that day-to-day, you know, safe start check, chat check, safety check, whatever people do. But in reality, very few people think about, well, hang on a moment, what are we going to do today if it goes wrong? Who's going to activate that protocol or implement that plan? Or have we stress tested it? Does it work? So that if we do have an incident, we can manage that incident and ultimately get back to business as usual as soon as possible.
So I know that you and I have been discussing this topic quite a bit, just generally, and there seems to be sort of two areas which seems to have the biggest impact to NHS estates, and that's RAC and fire safety. Is that something you can discuss further?
Yeah, of course. I mean, RAC has just been a massive headache for a number of hospital trusts, and indeed for landlords and companies all over the UK, real estate companies, where they've discovered they have RAC in their property portfolio. And of course, one of the issues that we're having to advise our clients on is thinking about how they're engaging that expertise to not only help identify the sorts of RAC they have, how that RAC affects the building, the load bearing, for example, things like that. But also thinking about, well, hang on a moment, how are we evidencing that we've got the right level of expertise, the right level of people here? Because there's a lot of people out there that may profess to be RAC experts in the construction sector, but not everyone is. It is a very new and, I guess, still being understood issue across the construction sector. And so what we're helping our clients with and seeing across the sector is thinking about how we can ensure that people are clear about roles and responsibilities, so that when they do get that external expertise in, we're very clear about, well, hang on a moment, who's going to do what, and where does that sit in terms of risk for the organisation in the event they have a RAC failure and an incident, either minor or major. But it's also thinking about understanding how you can think and get across the message to people, often in buildings that are still being used, that they're safe. And I think that messaging is one thing that we've been really assisting some clients with, about how we can say, look, you know, RAC sounds very scary. It sounds like a big deal. And actually, it is. But on the flip side of that, it is manageable, and this is how we're managing it. This is the expertise we've got in. These are the sorts of organisations we're working with. These are the action plans we've got. And therefore, you know, staff, patients, customers, it is safe to be here, because what you don't want, and what I think we often see sometimes in that risk management, health and safety space, is a bit of a knee-jerk reaction and everyone having a bit of a panic and a bit of a worry and thinking, and maybe forgetting, if I'm honest, that actually you're dealing with people's perceptions and people's humanity, and making sure that we're giving a clear and consistent message about what steps we're taking as an organisation and how we can stand by those steps is actually reassuring, and ensuring that educational piece is there so people feel safe in the buildings that they're either being asked to work in or stay in.
And so just moving then on to managing the risk of fire, you know, that's obviously a hot topic all the time, no pun intended. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, fire safety is a major, major issue for all organisations and anyone with any sort of property. I think one of the things that I've seen in the health and safety sphere is thinking about the building design itself. So if you're building new buildings or refurbishing buildings, thinking about, you know, fire breaks, what sort of fire doors you're going to put in, where exits are going to be, that sort of thing, in terms of a design issue, particularly in the refurb space where you might involve structural work in order to create new exits or new areas of safety. But also the requirements that are in place around fire door inspections are a good example of just how this area in terms of health and safety has really grown and developed to ensure that what you do put in place in terms of your fire safety management is effective and actually is maintained. So things like fire door inspections, ensuring that the seals will work, ensuring the doors are structurally safe, is another requirement on top of things like making sure your sprinkler systems work, making sure you've got fire extinguishers, making sure they've been inspected. And of course, you're dealing in a communal space. And so there are always these issues, particularly in estates where you have members of the public going in, where you have to balance the information that people have. So things like fire evacuation plans being on the walls, fire extinguishers being easily identifiable, with the bits that they necessarily can't see. So ensuring that, you know, alarm testing happens so that people know how to evacuate, that people have the right information available to them to enable an evacuation. But also that wider piece. I remember a few years ago, I was dealing with a case where we were thinking about the overall risk management for an area within a shopping centre that was on the second floor. It dealt with sort of vulnerable people coming in, almost like a day centre sort of environment. And I said to their safety manager, I said, you know, just out of interest, you've got a lot of people here who have got wheelchairs, who are quite vulnerable, who might be elderly with limited mobility issues. You know, how are you going to evacuate all these people in the event of a fire? Have you ever tried and tested that system? And they said, no, we haven't. I said, well, you know, just something to bear in mind. Anyway, they called me about a week later saying that after about 40 minutes, they'd had to abandon the test because they found out that one of their exits involved basically going over a metal gantry on top of this shopping centre. And it was quite a windy day. And, you know, all these people who were of a certain age with limited mobility were really struggling to get across. On top of that, they only had one evacuation chair, and they had like a row of people in wheelchairs waiting to be evacuated. The staff were a combination of staff and volunteers. They didn't know how it worked, and it was quite frankly chaos.
I can picture it.
Yeah, it's quite alarming, really, if you think about it. But mixed with a touch of humour, with the benefit of hindsight. But I think what we saw there was, on paper, everything looked great. They had the evacuation plans, they had all the compliance documentation, they had it all in place, but actually what was missing was that, does it work? And I think sometimes that's where organisations struggle, because we live in such a compliance and audit-driven sector, particularly health and safety across construction and property, that we get to this point where we need to start thinking, well, hang on a moment, you know, does it actually do what we need it to do when we need it to do it? And, you know, we've seen significant fires across the UK in recent times that have resulted in occasional and quite significant at times loss of life. And I think one of the things that has been a real learning for all organisations that have a property portfolio is really thinking about how are we managing that risk of fire within the building? How are we dealing with the spread of fire? And how are we ensuring that that system works and we can test it and it's just not a paper exercise? Certainly my advice would be to those with a property portfolio is to, yeah, absolutely get all your documentation in place, get your policies in place, get that compliance piece sorted, but test it every so often and just make sure it does what exactly you want it to do.
Excellent. Thanks, Matt. That's been like really insightful. I think there's some really great practical takeaways from your discussion. So we hope that, you know, the people listening have found this session useful. I know I certainly have. And of course, if you've got any queries, then feel free to contact us.